The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen. In the name of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, amen. During my going on 17 years as a pastor, I have been with a whole lot of people as they've died. I have sat with parents as their child was dying. I have sat with children as one of their parents was dying. I have sat with men and women whose spouse was dying. Seen a lot of death, just as many of you have, but I have been there and I have followed up after death visiting people, in particular visiting a spouse who, a woman or a man who has lost his or her spouse. And there is one thing that I, without exception, hear the widow or widower say, and that is this: the evenings are the hardest. The evenings, when the day is winding down, is when I feel his absence, her absence, most intently. I look over to the chair where he used to sit. I look over to the sofa where she used to read. He's not there anymore. She's not there anymore. And I feel it. I feel their absence intently. It's no accident, I believe, that it was on the evening of the first day of the week that Jesus appeared to his disciples. They were locked up in this room because they were fearful of the Jews, the ones who had conspired to have Jesus arrested and put on trial, and had pressured Pilate to crucify him, even though Pilate knew that Jesus was an innocent man. The disciples were afraid the same thing would happen to them because they were Jesus' followers. And so they went into the room, they locked it, the blinds, the curtains were drawn. And every time they heard a footstep pass outside, I would imagine they looked at one another with eyes wide. They said, shh, shh. We don't want anyone to know we're here. But Jesus knew they were there. Not Jesus in spirit. Not Jesus as the disembodied second person of the Holy Trinity, but Jesus, their rabbi, Jesus, their Lord, Jesus, the one whom they had followed for going on 3 years, Jesus who had been crucified, Jesus who had died on that cross, Jesus whose body had been taken down from that cross and laid in a tomb, Jesus of whom the women who went to the tomb very early that morning had told them that he wasn't there, that an angel had appeared to them and spoken to them and said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Go and tell the disciples that you have heard this message." And Mary Magdalene saw the risen Jesus in the garden. She thought he was the gardener. She said, "Lord, if you have taken my Lord's body, Tell me where it is and I'll go get it. And he spoke Mary's name, Mary. And she knew it was the Lord. And she rushed back to the disciples and told them. But they still couldn't grasp it. They still could not believe. It was beyond them. They could have maybe believed that Jesus lived on in their memories, that his spirit lived on, because after all, they were Jews. And they may have even believed that at the end of the age and the resurrection, his body would be raised up again, because they weren't the Sadducees who believed that once dead, always dead. But the notion that this Jesus, who had been crucified on Friday, was alive again in the body, was beyond them. And suddenly there he was. Not just a spirit, not just a ghost, certainly not an hallucination, but Jesus in the flesh. Jesus resurrected. Jesus glorified. We know he was glorified. We know that his human nature participated in all the attributes of the divine nature because the doors were locked. And suddenly there Jesus was, and there is no record of him having a key to let himself in, or him climbing in through an open window, or him coming down the chimney like Santa Claus. Poof! There he is, not a ghost, but in the body. I could say to you, reach out and touch the person next to you. Touch their body. You feel it. You feel the pressure of their flesh beneath your hand. You feel the fabric of their clothing. Well, that's the way it was with Jesus. And he came and stood among these disciples who had run off like scared rabbits. He came and stood there in the same room with Peter, who had denied him three times, and listened to the words he spoke to them. Peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands, and he showed them his side. Why did he do that? You know, little kids will take the Band-Aid off their knee and say, look where I fell and scraped myself yesterday. Ooh, neat scab. That is not why Jesus showed them his wounds. It's to show, one, his identity, that he, the crucified one, was also the risen one, and that he was not a ghost, but it was also to say, by these wounds of mine, you are healed. By these wounds of mine that I suffered during my passion, you are forgiven. By these wounds of mine that I endured for you, you have peace with God. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And had they thought he was a ghost, they would have been scared to death. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Now, why did the Father send Jesus into the world? Because he loved the world. Because he loved the people of the world. And lest you be uncertain about it, because he loved you and loves you and does not want anyone to perish, but for all to come to a knowledge of the truth and a confession of the name Jesus Christ. And that is why Jesus was sending the apostles, for the very same reason, as we shall see. When Jesus had said this, he breathed on the apostles and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And here's the office of the keys. If you forgive the sins of anyone, if you proclaim absolution, announce absolution, absolve anyone, those sins are absolved. They're forgiven. They're taken away. If you withhold forgiveness, if you bind someone's sins to them because they are unrepentant, they do not receive forgiveness. Here's where it gets really interesting. You've all heard of doubting Thomas. You know, Thomas has gotten a bad rap because he doubted the reality of the resurrection. He did not take the word of the women. He did not take the disciples' word. For Thomas, seeing was believing. But you know what? I experience doubts. And I would imagine if you are honest, you would say you do too. I experience doubts in all kinds of ways. Am I a sinner really forgiven? Is this message about Jesus, that he is indeed God in the flesh, that he indeed was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin, that he suffered and died on the cross, and by his death he took away all sins, and that he was raised in the flesh? Is this really true? Because it goes against anything I have experienced in life, and I have not seen the risen Christ, nor have you. Now, doubt is endemic to our fallen human race. Indeed, we cannot believe this unless the Holy Spirit works through the message of the gospel to give us the faith that we need. Now, notice I said the gospel. The gospel's about Jesus Christ. The gospel is about the one who lived a life of purity on your behalf. The one who was obedient in all things to his heavenly Father at all times for you and for me, who more often than not, because we do things grudgingly, are disobedient. The gospel is about God's love for sinners and how that love is brought to pinpoint perfection in the incarnation, in the life, in the death, and in the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. That is what you need to hear, not just once, but over and over and over again. Because it is through this message that you believe. It is through this message that you continue to believe. It's like a child who has misbehaved, who has hurt his or her parents badly. And the parents discipline that child as parents need to do. And the child asks, "Do you love me?" The parents say, "Of course we love you. We provide a home for you. We feed you. We give you clothing. We let you go places. We bought you toys. Of course we love you. But I disobeyed you. I wasn't a good son. I wasn't a good daughter. Do you love me?" And the parents say, "Yes, we love you. You are our son. You are our daughter." And because of the child's insecurities about that, the child needs to hear the message over and over and over again. And so it is with you and me. We have a sinful nature that wants to snatch the gospel message from us. We have the devil who wants us to despair and think, "We cannot possibly be loved by God. We cannot possibly be forgiven. We are too great of a sinner for that." So we need to hear the message. We need to be here. Because on TV, many times you get a distortion of that message, which takes the precious gospel and turns it into a poison of the law. And the law cannot save you. It can only condemn. Anyway, Thomas, who was absent when Jesus came, shows up, and the disciples tell him, "We have seen the Lord." And as you heard, Thomas said, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, unless I can place my finger into the mark of the nails and stick my hand into the side where he received the thrust of that spear, I will never believe." Now, Thomas was right about one thing. He was right that it is impossible for us fallen, sinful creatures who dwell in darkness to believe the good news on our own. We need help. He was wrong about it. He had to see to believe, as we will see. 8 days later, the disciples are inside again in the room. It's 8 days after the resurrection. Thomas is with them, and the doors are locked. But whoa, here's Jesus again, and he's not just a spirit. Because he speaks, "Peace be with you," including Thomas. And then he comes to Thomas individually and says, "Put your finger here, see my hands? Put out your hand, place it in my side. Go ahead, Thomas, but stop disbelieving. Believe." We don't know whether Thomas did that, touched. It's not important. What is important is his confession of faith, which is the confession of faith of all who believe. All who believe what the creed confesses. All who believe what the scriptures teach. That Jesus is Lord and God, your Lord, your God, the one who is Lord of your life, the one who does not boss you around and say, "Snap to it, go here, go there," but the one who went to the cross for you and served you by his death and his resurrection. "My Lord and my God," Thomas says to Jesus. And Jesus says to him, and this is what he also says to you, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Well, blessed are those, blessed by God are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That means you. That means me. You have God's blessing. God has chosen you for his blessing. God has given you faith through the word of the apostles, through this very account that we heard read and you have heard proclaimed today. You are blessed by God with forgiveness of all of your sins. You are blessed with life eternal. You are blessed to have God as your heavenly Father and Jesus as your Lord and God. You are blessed with eternal life. You are blessed with the promise that you too will be resurrected. And you did not see a thing, but you heard. And you believed. Your parents heard. And they believed, and they brought you to be baptized. Your parents heard, and they believed, and they brought you to catechesis so you could be instructed and admitted to the altar. And there you don't see Jesus' body. You don't see his blood. You don't see Jesus, but he is there for you in his body and blood, to give you one of the greatest, most precious blessings of all. In Holy Communion, the body that the disciples touched after the resurrection John says, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked upon, what we have touched with our hands concerning this word of life. And by God's grace, you take Christ's body and the bread into your hands and into your mouth, and you eat, and you are forgiven, and your faith is strengthened. And by God's grace, you take the cup and you drink Jesus' blood, which was shed for you, and you receive forgiveness, and your faith is strengthened. But it's all tied into the word that Jesus speaks. Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. But guess what? One day you're going to see. And that's when the blessing is magnified a gazillion, trillion, billion fold. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written. These things are proclaimed so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, is the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. We talk about doubting Thomas. What about doubting me? We talk about doubting Thomas. What about doubting you? Well, here's the answer to doubt. Hear the word. Be present when the word is preached. Be present when the gifts of God are celebrated. Do not think you do not need these gifts or you only need them once in a while. We cannot believe on our own. We need the Spirit's work through the Word, through the sacrament. And then, only then, as the Spirit makes poor, doubting, miserable sinners alive in Christ and believers in Christ, can we have the life in His name that God has freely given us in His crucified and His resurrected Son. Alleluia, Christ is risen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.